This morning, I want to share a little bit with you about what's been hitting me a lot lately, what's been important to me personally about the gospel. You know, I talk about the gospel every week, and I say, you know, I can become a broken record in terms of my focus. I tend to teach and preach about the same thing over and over and over again. If you've been here a short time, you don't know that yet. If you've been here a long time, you will always hear something about, you know, people ask me, what are you going to preach on? I say, God, Jesus, and the Bible. God, Jesus, and the Bible. And they get bored hearing that. But this morning, I really feel that there's something important that I want to share with you from my heart, and that is, I want us to see the why of the work of Christ. I want us to see not only what the Son did and how He did it, but also to see the why, to see the Father behind the work. Yes, to obsess about the Son and to understand His work fully and understand that it's over, that it's completed, but there's a motive. There's a motive there. There's a motive that we need to be aware of. A motive in a God who pursued us. He first created us and saw life lost in the garden. And then He pursued us. And He made a way called belief, called faith. He made a way for us to experience Him again. And then he stepped back. And then He watched. He watched as humanity tried to invent and pursue religion to get close and stay close. But through the work of Jesus Christ, His Son, the crushing of His Son on the cross, we see a move made. Imagine donating your own son to be slaughtered. For what purpose? Why would you do that? What would bring you to that place of decision? The heart of the Father. That's what's behind it all. This morning, we're going to take a journey. We're going to take a journey through the New Testament letters, and as we look at the different apostles who are writing us, you catch a snippet here, a snippet there of what they have to say, not merely about the work of Christ, but about the heart of the Father behind it, the heart of your Father. In Romans 8, it says, "You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father." You know the story of Abba. You know that it's a Hebrew word. You know that there was something illegal about it. That Jesus talked about His dad in this way. That Jesus referred to His Father, God, as Abba, and they freaked out and they wanted to stone Him and kill Him for it. That the intimacy that He described, that's not on the radar. That's not allowed, that type of closeness. It's interesting that we can say all kinds of things about Jesus, and we recognize the cross and the resurrection, but then when it comes to our feelings about God and the way that we walk around planet Earth sensing what God thinks of us, we can divorce the work of Christ from that, and essentially we can live in our feelings. Have you found that with regard to your relationship with God that you can live in your feelings? That you can have all the right doctrines, you can say all the right things about Jesus, you can say all the right things about forgiveness and freedom from a standard by which we are measured, we can call ourselves new creations, we can say all the right things, and yet we can miss the face of the Father. We can miss the motive behind it all. We can miss the fact that, yeah, there's doctrines and there's facts and there's figures and there's events and there's history and there's a finished work, but it's for a reason. And the reason is closeness. The reason is intimacy. You know, this message, the more this message gets out, the more I see how deep-rooted the resistance is. Ultimately, in many regards, you tell some Christians, even non-Christians or Christians, you say Christians are totally forgiven people, and they get mad at you for saying that. Mad at you for saying that we're totally forgiven. Intimacy has become a heresy. This morning, I want to talk about the heresy of intimacy. I want to talk about something that is so radical, so extreme, that it should be labeled by as heresy by some. It needs to be. Because it is so incredible, it is so unending, it is so unconditional, the love of Jesus Christ that has been lavished on us. Wow. You see this verse here, it says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you fearful. We can talk all about Jesus doing a great work, and then we say, God's mad at me. God's disappointed in me. God's disgusted with me. And what we're saying is that the Father is frowning. We've put a frown on the face of the Father. Yeah, He'll greet me at the gate, perhaps, maybe from a distance. But right now, the face of the Father is frowning. And the whole purpose of the gospel is to take away the frown, to take away the disgust, to take away the anger, to take away the displeasure, so that you and I can enjoy cleanness and closeness. We cry, Abba, Father, a spirit of sonship. You know, there's verses about parenting in the Bible. Have you looked at these verses on parenting? I mean, these New Testament verses on parenting, they say things like, don't exasperate your kids. Don't discourage them. Now think about, if God the Father is telling parents that, how much more does He desire to encourage, not discourage us? And yet, we can feel as if the Father is in heaven, far off, discouraged. Discouraged at where we're at. And the whole purpose of the gospel is to take away the discouragement, take away the disappointment, take away the displeasure, so that we can have peace with the God of the universe. And it's real, and it's tangible, and it's experiential. It is supposed to be. That's what it's all about. It's not just Romans. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We know this. We say, yeah, the church is the sons and daughters. The church, we are the family of God, and we've got the vocabulary. But I want you to think about your own kin, your own flesh and blood, your own lineage, and what you would give for your kids, and what you would do for your kids, and the amount that you would forgive them, and the amount that you would release them, and the amount that you desire relationship with them, and then magnify it 1,000 times over. And then kill one of your own for the sake of them. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom making an ultimate sacrifice, even letting yourself be extinguished, snuffed out for the sake of your kids? I mean, this love, it's not doctrine, it's not facts, it's not simply letters and a book. There's a face behind it all. There's a God behind it all. If we got all the right doctrines and we miss the relationship, we've missed the most important part. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse means nothing to most of us. We skip over it. I do. Don't you? When you read an epistle, this comes at the beginning, verse 3 of 1 Corinthians. But here's the catch. I looked into it. It also comes in Colossians. It also comes in Ephesians. It also comes in Galatians. It is smattered all over the New Testament for a reason. Slow down in your mind. If you consider yourself intellectual, slow down even further. Grace and peace from God our Father. What do you expect from Dad? The number one thing we expect from Dad is grace. He tells us in letter upon letter upon letter. What do you expect from Dad? We need to expect grace. What's the message we teach? It needs to be grace. What do we believe? It needs to be grace. And it's coming not merely from a spiritual accounting, but it's coming from the heart of a father. When we sin, it's grace. When we sin 100 times, it's grace. When we sin 1,000 times, it's grace. When we never sin at all, before we ever sin, it's grace. Oh, and it's also peace. I'm at peace with you. I'm not angry. I'm not discouraged. I'm not disappointed. I'm not frowning. I'm at peace. And I'll tell you in Galatians, and I'll tell you in Ephesians, and I'll tell you in Philippians, and I'll tell you in Colossians, and I will go on telling you until you get it. I love you, and I like you, and you're okay with me. I love you, and I like you, and you're okay with me. That's the gospel. It's not doctrines. It's the heart of a father who has arranged it so that he can love his children unconditionally every day, all day long, no matter what. And again, I have to say it because I know you're thinking it, but you don't know me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a churchy person. Are you a murderer? Because the Bible was written by murderers. Are your sins bigger than Moses killing an Egyptian? Are your sins bigger than David killing a guy for his wife? Are your sins bigger than Saul of Tarsus persecuting, killing Christians? How big are your sins? Too big to have intimacy with the Father? Let me dare you to believe in the heresy of intimacy. That all bets are off, it's not about you, that you're not in the equation, that fellowship is free, that closeness is a gift, that okayness, we call it righteousness, is a gift from the Father. When someone gives you a gift, own it. You're going to need it. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. But I'm disappointing him. You don't know my track record. God knows, the Father knows how we feel about our sins. He's made us obedient from the heart. So when we don't live that out, we're the ones not fulfilled. We're the ones disappointed. We're the ones ashamed. We're the ones frustrated. And we don't need a bony finger pointing in our direction. What ashamed people need is counsel and comfort and compassion. You've got a friend. He's struggling with alcoholism. He's drunk all the time, nights, weekends. You go over to his house, there he is, sick as a dog, over his toilet, disgusted with himself, disgusted with his performance. As he's laying there, you know, sick as a dog, do you just say, "Now you should have known better"? Is that what you do? Is that what you do? As a friend, just as a human, earthly friend, is that what you do? You say, "No way, certainly not. I've got an ounce of compassion. What I do is I put my hand on his back. I offer to get him a cup of water. I do something for him. I meet him where he's at." Now, how much more the Father of all, how much more does our Heavenly Father, who has taken away our sins with a blood sacrifice, blood all over the place, sufficient to take care of a lifetime of sinning, how much more is he there to comfort and counsel and help? And these aren't my words. The role of the Holy Spirit, comforter, counselor, helper. Have you seen the face of the Father? Have you seen the relationship that he has set up and is now in the midst of, whether we recognize him or not? You've never had a friend like this. You've never had a friend give his life for you. You've never had a dad like this. There's a few of you perhaps right now, you're saying, this is nice, but this is a warm, feel-good description of God. And what you're thinking, perhaps, is that you can find a verse or two or three or five where you can show that there's another side to God. God cares about sin. You're right. God cares about behavior. You're right. But how will He get us there? I'm afraid that every one of us in the room, we already know God is about justice. We're scared to death of God. That's our problem. What we need to come to grips with is that justice was served on the cross. Justice was served on the cross so that you and I, we don't get what we deserve, and we don't just get a reprise, we don't just get off scot-free, we get more. We get closeness. We get seated right next to Dad. We get way more than we deserve. And you behave from there. And you live from there. And you choose from there. And yes, He disciplines us. But He disciplines us as He's seated right next to us. This is crucial. This is critical. If all you have is a set of doctrines, you're missing the face of the Father. And that's what we need. We're little kids. All of us, we're little kids. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Once again, in Romans, in Galatians, Daddy, Daddy. Is that comfortable for you in prayer? Talking to God, saying, Daddy? I mean, Paul says that's the cry of our hearts. So if I'm simply crying, Our Father who art in heaven, only, if that's the only way I ever refer to Him, He deserves respect. He is the God of the universe. He is the Creator. He brought all things into being, but He is also my dad. He is also your dad. Gave Himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. This is a verse about what Jesus did. I want to feel God. I want to feel closeness to God. I want to see God. I want to experience God. Look at that guy over there. Look at that girl over there. Look at the closeness that she has with God. I want that. We find ourselves in that place, don't we? There is no hidden secret to intimacy with God the Father. It is right out there. And let me tell you the doorway, let me tell you the gate. It's Jesus. If you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. If you've seen Him, you've seen the heart of the Father. If you've seen Him, you've seen the motive of the Father. If you've seen Him, you've seen the work of the Father. If you've seen Him, you've seen the agenda, the mission statement, the accomplishment of the Father. And you can pray all day long, God, I want closeness. I want to know You. I want to know You. I want to know You. And He will honor that. But He honors it. He honors it through exposing the work of Jesus Christ so that we can see. So that we can see what He did for us. So that we can see how close He is to us. And how clean He made us before Him. He gave Himself for our sins. He's a rescuer. He reaches down and he sees the disgust on our face and the distance and the bottomless pit of our spiritual death. And He rescues us. And He makes us alive. And he says, I'll never measure you. And I'll never call you insufficient. I've made you complete. I'll make you adequate. I'll make you enough. I will cause you to have everything you need for life. So that you won't be a distant, far-off child saying, I need more this and I need more that and I need more this. And I've got to get in right relationship. And I've got to get close. And we find ourselves asking for the very thing the Father has lavished upon us. He'll never lavish anything more upon you. He'll never give you any more grace. He'll never give you any more forgiveness. He'll never make you closer. Yes, yes, we get a new body. Yes, our bodies are redeemed and we'll see Him face to face. but there's something for now. There's something for now that is incredible. And we need to see it. And we see it through the work of the Son. And the work of the Son leads us to the face of the Father. Ephesians also tells us, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I was presenting in Canada, a group of 45 or so Christian counselors. There's a person at the back giving me that look of death. You know, you can see it coming. When you do enough speaking, you can see the look of death, and you know that, oh, about 30 minutes from now, you're going to get it. So there was this guy, and he was at the back, and it was the look of death. And he didn't wait the full 30 minutes. He raised his hand in the middle, and he said, "You're not speaking about miracles. You don't understand miracles. I don't hear you speaking about the power of God. I don't hear you talking about miracles." And he went on and on and on about how I just didn't get it. I wasn't seeing the core, the most important thing in Christianity, miracles. Let me tell you, it's not just miracles. There's all kinds of distractions. A big distraction in the Christian world today is leadership principles. Let's seek out better leadership principles. Another distraction is this spiritual gift. You got to have this one. There's all kinds of distractions. And they all say, you haven't been blessed. You need more. See, we're suckers for needing more. Isn't that what every commercial that comes our way says? You've got this, but now you just need this. You've got this, now here's 2.0 version. Go online and get your update, right? We're inundated with this. And what the Father has done is He's allowed us to be free from religion. He's allowed us to say no to the sales pitch that we need more. Notice that it's the Father who did this. What did the Father do? He said, "I will bless you with every spiritual blessing, and then I want every day to be Christmas." Every day as you open the package and you dig deeper and you discover, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? It's not that I need more gifts. It's that I open them every day and discover. I discover the heart of the Father. Colossians also says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. The reason I put these verses before you is because I want us to see this is not a nebulous God with no face. This is a Father who has done very specific things for you and to you in order to enable you to simply do one thing: enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. And we are consumed with ourselves. I tell the story, the false story of holding up Gavin at a party and talking about him and praising him and lavishing my praise on him as I brag on him. And then other people at that party, they interrupt. They're consumed with themselves and they say, "I've got a drinking problem, I've got a lust problem, I've got this, I've got that." Absurd, right? Absurd, because the Father is talking about His Son and the focus is to be on His Son. Absurd. And yet that's what we find ourselves doing. We can't believe this. There are some of us in the room who've been abused by our Father. Abused by your earthly dad. Or maybe your parents didn't abuse you, but maybe you were just constantly on a performance treadmill. You were on a conditional love type basis, performance-based acceptance. It's all over the place. It's human. We all do it. So when I talk about dad, it's very hard for us to get beyond what dad has meant for us. And that's why these verses are here. An incredible dad. A dad you can't fathom. A dad you can't imagine. And we all need a dad. Hebrews, as we finish out today, Hebrews says the other aspect of dad is that he cares about behavior. We've all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. This is not child abuse. You don't respect dads for child abuse. You only respect dads for discipline when it worked. You only respect dads for discipline when you can see the love in it. And that's what he's saying. There's a parallel between loving discipline from a loving father and what God does for us. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? You can't get around the behavior verses, and you shouldn't try. Instead, you should seek them out and crave them. And here's how they happen. They happen from closeness. They happen for all of us from closeness and cleanness. And they happen because the Father has made it so that His Son is unified with us, one with us, that just beneath your humanity, Jesus lives. And so when I see a behavior verse, be kind and compassionate, I think, is Jesus kind and compassionate? Well, where is Jesus? He's one with me. Why is He one with me? Because the Father made Him one with me for a reason, so that I can live from that closeness, live from that cleanness. The Father made it so. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change. Not change with my emotions, not change with my experience, not change with my performance. The only one disgusted with you is you. The only one disgusted with you is you. Get over yourself. I mean, really, you're not shocking any of us. I know what you people do. I do. Some of you tell me. And some of you tell me kind of like this. Yeah, I got something to tell you. You're not going to believe what I did, but I just got to tell somebody. Then when you get done telling me, I say, yeah, I know about 1,000 people who've also done that. And then suddenly they're, you mean people that go to this church? Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. See, because the people that go here, also other places, they're human. Yeah. They're human. God is not shocked. He meets us where we're at. Every good and perfect gift is from Him, including the compassion you need, including the mercy you need, the forgiveness you need, the discipline you need. It's all from a heart of love. Peter says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He's given us new birth." The Father gave us new birth, new spiritual heritage, new lineage, so that we could be close and it wouldn't be fake. We really are children. We finish out with John. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." I've demonstrated for you the swivel chair before. Here's the swivel chair. Now, in today's Christian world, the term fellowship has come to mean all kinds of things, all of them really not very biblical, because the word fellowship is not discussed in this way, but the way that we've seen it, the way that we've heard it, the way that we've emotionally embraced the idea of fellowship or closeness with God is this: I'm doing great, I'm going to church, God loves me, God likes me. I use the Lord's name in vain. His face is turned away from me. I did my quiet time. He's back. Oh, but then I thought a bad attitude. I had a bad attitude. I thought a bad thought, and He swivels away from me. But then I asked Him for forgiveness, and He got out His little portion of cleansing pads here, and He just zapped me with it and cleansed me and polished me off, and so now I'm back in fellowship. I'm clean again. If you're in fellowship when there's no sin in your life, you're never in fellowship. Because you're always struggling. You're always getting your mind renewed. We would be swimming in condemnation if we were only in fellowship when we got ourselves right with God. We are right with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are right with God because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He remembers our sins no more. There is no swivel chair. If you're going to sin, you sin while Dad's face is toward you. If you're going to sin, you sin while you're seated right next to Dad. We're going to go through this together. Now, again, there may be somebody here thinking, that's just campy. I mean, that's just feel good. That's just feel good doctrine. That's just feel good talk. Okay, let's put the Father over here. Now, there you are in your sin. Now, how are you going to get out? How are you going to get out? How are you going to get back in fellowship? How are you going to get over here? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I remember your sins no more. I have made you one spirit with me. You can be a Corinthian going out and having heinous relationships, all kinds of immorality, and still your spirit will be preserved. Yeah, you're going to make a mess of your life. You are going to make an absolute mockery of the gospel, and we don't want you to associate with what we believe the gospel is about. But your Father will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the heresy of intimacy. That is what we have to tell people so they can see the heart of the Father. And let me tell you, when we see the heart of the Father, we're not asking, oh, can I go sin then? If I tell you about the greatest meal on planet Earth, I tell you about the finest restaurant in all of Lubbock, and you say, well, can I go over there and eat out of the dumpster? It makes no sense. You can, but you won't find a feast. The feast is right here with the Father. He will never leave you nor forsake you. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. Look at this exclamation point. Look at John. He pauses and he says, I think I get it. And that is what we are. Children, little kids in the arms of a loving Father. The reason the world does not know us is it didn't know Him. We finish with Jude. Jude, a servant to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father. And get this. Kept. What does that mean? Preserved. Held tightly. We can't get out of relationship. We're kept by Jesus Christ. Have you seen what the Son did? The Son made it possible for us to experience grace and peace, comfort and compassion, discipline and training. The Son made it possible for us to have new birth, fellowship with Him, love lavished on us. And that's the work. That's the work of the Son. But the question is, do you see the motive? Do you see the person behind it all? Have you seen the face of the Father? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have made us children, real children, with new spiritual genetics. Behold, I will give You a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. Father, we thank You that we are literally in the family. Father, we thank You that You've taken every sin off the record books, that You remember our sins no more. You've made us clean. You've made us close. Father, we thank You for Your Son. We brag on Him. We think He has done the greatest miracle using power that has ever been done. The miracle of resurrection, the miracle of new life. Father, we thank You for the work of the Son. But Father, Dad, Daddy, Father, Abba, we thank You that the Son has made it possible for us to begin to see You, to begin to see Your smile, to begin to see Your affection, Your kindness lavished upon us. We thank You for the closeness. We thank you for the discipline. We thank you for the heart that did it all. In Jesus' name, amen.